Dude, what should we talk about?
I don't know, dude. Random podcast. What are we? Random Talk Radio.
Dude, Random Talk Radio.
And back.
We are back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Random Talk Radio podcast. World's number one most leading alternative news source. All of my grammar Nazi friends, you can comment. We actually still have our phone number.
Oh, yeah. Has anyone called that?
No.
We had something to give away at one point, didn't we?
I mean, we did. Like $25 to
give. Nobody claimed
Nobody's
it.
Nobody's ever called.
That's how popular we are.
I did have somebody ask me, though, on Twitter if we were going to start the show again sometime soon.
Oh, yeah? Cool.
So that was exciting.
Who was that?
Sub Bros. If I don't remember. You should look it
He's
up.
He's probably going to hear this and be like, I'm not Sub Bros.
I'm going to be your one listener.
That's awesome.
Anyway, exciting news for those of you who don't know, since we're getting this started back up after our indefinite hiatus, Sam the man with the plan, he is live in the studio with us, so Sam, wave and say hi to everybody.
Wave. Is there a way to do an audio wave?
Dude.
Like a...
Whoosh.
Yeah. There it is. Like a way to just do that, communicate that way without... voice.
Yeah, I don't know. We just, this is our minute of talking here to get started. Actually, we're going on 2 minutes. It's kind of random.
Oh, yeah,
we're sitting here watching it, recording live. Because we were always recording on Skype before, so we got to actually see, like, the timeline that we were doing, but now we can know how long we've been failing. It's so great. Dude, as always, I'm going to lead off with you.
Because I always have something to say.
You
right?
always have something to say.
Well, I do have something to say. I have nothing to say because my phone is a piece of junk.
Dude, you have Fizzone. Tell us all about it.
It doesn't charge. That's interesting. The port doesn't charge anymore. Like, one point I dropped it while I was working on it, while it was plugged in.
Wait, so you had dropped it then?
Yeah, but that was like... 6 months ago, like it's been fine for most of that time until like maybe a week or two ago when it started acting funny. I'll plug it in, I'll leave it charging, and then when I come back, it says it's not charging, and I'll wiggle it, and it's like, oh, I'm charging again. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. And it's just not paying.
Did you end up trying one of those other chargers?
No.
Oh, dude, look at that. Light's on. It's charging now.
Yeah, supposedly. But, but usually that's like my second brain there, so if I want to have something to say on any given topic, I can just be like Google power, dude, just right there from phone. Wikipedia, and I got nothing now. I just got my own little brain, which is pretty empty, so I'm just like, hey.
Yeah, when it comes to sitting in front of the mic, especially after having not done it for so long, you start to realize, like, I don't really have much to say. I don't have a lot going on, so... But, No, I've actually just got my new phone.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm liking it so far, the Moto G. If anybody out there has any comments about their Moto G, same yada yada as usual. You can follow us on Twitter at RTRPod, hashtag RTRPod. If you want to shout out to us, let us know you're listening. You can hear us out there loud and clear. I like it so far. I think a lot of the reviews, people will either love it or hate it. Like, it's not like a super great phone because it doesn't have all these extra features.
Like what? What would you hate
about
that
phone? I don't know. It's like we were talking about the other night, you know, with the headphones. You know, people are like super fanboys and they're like, you didn't pay $600 for your phone, so it's no good.
Yeah.
Which I think is retarded. Like, no one should be paying that much for that kind of equipment. Like, this is 2015 practically. Like, the age of technology has come so far. That's why I'm not a fanboy of Mac. Like, anything iPhone, iPad, like, you should not be paying that kind of money for any of your electronics at all.
We are officially anti-Mac on this show now.
Woot.
So you can all you Mac all lovers you Mac can haters. Come hate on us.
Hey, you can come hate on us. Hit us up. Anyway, it's a good phone. I've actually kind of been digging it. I got my case coming in the mail sometime soon.
Oh, you got one?
I did, yeah.
What kind?
What did I get? I forgot the name of it is. It's one of those super rugged, like, bulky monsters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fine because, I mean, I drive trucks for a living, so I'm constantly digging around in the back of a semi, so...
Yeah.
I have to have something that's going to stand up to it, so...
That's the annoying trade-off, too. Like, we were talking about the... You have to make it, like, three times as thick just to protect the thing.
Yeah.
But they look so nice and clean, and
they're weightless. Well, that's what I'm gonna miss, because right now, like, holding it right here, it's super sleek, and like I was saying in tonight, it's perfect size for my hand, so I'm going to miss that, because it's going to be, like, this big in my hand after I put the case on.
Oh, yeah. That's the way it is with mine. Well, it's weird, too, because I've had it in the case for so long, so now that I've been, like, I was fooling around with that charger, I pulled it out of the case, I feel like I'm going to drop it because it's so light.
Yeah.
And you don't realize how light they are because you have them covered up.
Well, it's funny, because we were sitting there after I got my new one a couple days ago. And my wife pulled hers back out, and she's like, it's kind of nice like this. Like, yeah, it is. So, but anyway, that's enough of our talking and catching up for us. Let me see what I can find on here. I'm going to go ahead and dig up some of our stuff that we've been talking about. I know we just watched a documentary, actually,
on
3D printed guns.
Mm-hmm.
What was your take on that?
I take that. That's the future. That was a Vice documentary, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Which
I thought was interesting, but we'll like talk about that in a second.
It was pretty awesome because this guy. We should have gotten the actual name of the. It's like defense. What is it called? Defense.
I'm just wanting to pull
defense distributed.
This up.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull this up because I have all that on here.
But the guy started making 3D printed like receivers and upper lower receivers and magazines and everything for, I think it's AR-15 platform he's working off of, right?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he said he can make the most money off of those, which obviously, I don't know anybody who knows guns.
Yeah. But it's kind of this weird, if you kind of project it a little bit, like in your mind, the timeline futuristically of what this could enable, you're seeing people making their own protection at home.
Yes.
I mean, obviously it's up by the ammo, you know, so we're kind of in that state, but still, for the most part, the government or, you know, local governing bodies or whatever are controlling the access and the your ability to acquire a firearm. I mean, you have to go through all kinds of licensing, or you got to go to a specific licensed person to buy it, or you have to or you can't get certain types of weapons in certain states and all this kind of stuff. And in some countries, you know, you can't get anything or what have you, but when you have 3D printing ability, you have all the power right there. You just have to buy some plastic material, pour it in there, and now you have a firearm for your own protection or for your family's protection or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, anyone anti-gun is, of course, going to be like, well, this opens up all kinds of new can of worms.
You're killing, shooting baby kittens.
But, like, well, one of the guys in the documentary was saying, his name was redacted, of course, but he was talking about how a gun is a tool, and when you have...
Yes, yeah, that was so important that he mentioned that.
When you have people who, like, they were referencing a lot of the shootings that have been going on, and that was a big part of the reason why this company got into the limelight, because they're working on the AR-15, which, of course, is the gun that was used in the, was that the Newtown? Was that the
Newtown,
one?
Newtown, yeah. That's where it all came to a head. Mm-hmm. That's where all this has started coming from.
But the thing is, he mentioned something that I hadn't really even considered myself, and I'm a pro-gun person, is that if people want to do this stuff, if they're messed up in the head enough to go shoot people, they're going to do it regardless.
Or
they're
going
to find,
kittens.
Yeah, or baby kittens. I mean, they're going to find a machete, or they're going to find a knife or a pen. I mean, you know, somebody who's psychotic is not, or has some agenda, is not going to be withheld by, oh, I can't use a gun, I can't acquire this weapon. It's a tool to accomplish something. In this case, they're using it to accomplish harming others.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to find another tool to do that job because that's how they're thinking.
Well, that's what he mentioned, too. He's like, you know, the people who are using these already had that intention going into it. You know, and so like you say, they could use a knife, they could use a pipe bomb, you know, any number of these weirdo things that people come up with to, you know, bring harm to people. The item itself is not what's causing the problem. I know everyone's seen the little meme online where the guy leaves his shotgun out on the porch all day, and, you know, all throughout the day he's making sure to keep an eyeball on it, but it never jumped off the porch and shot anybody walking by. He's like, I've come to the conclusion that the gun has not killed anybody, so it must not be the gun's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dumbed down way of looking at it, but, like, you know, it's so true. You know,
oh,
the gun, it's retarded to ever ever, you know, have anyone say that, you know, guns kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since the beginning of time, like, it's always been people who kill people. So, I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting. What I like about it is when he was talking about printing them, 3D printing's been on my radar for a little bit anyway, but just the mention of new complex materials that are going to be coming out.
Yeah.
I just watched, I think I posted it on the website, and we'll have to check it out, but I just watched an article the other day where some dude printed a car in, like, what was it, 36 hours, I want to say, something like that. But they were using one of those brand new compounds. It was like a carbon fiber PVC blend, something or another. But essentially, it was like super ultra lightweight, and they made everything, all the, like, the engine components, everything was all made out of this stuff. And based on what their calculations were, they were going to be able to drive like 100 miles to the gallon or something on the tank of gas.
Wow.
Problem is because a lot of it is still plastic. If you have parts and components like that built out of that stuff, it's going to melt down.
Right.
Because an internal combustion engine, I mean, you're basically causing small explosions inside the engine block, so there's always going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting thing because I think the guys on the gun documentary, they were talking about how they expect everyone in America to be able to have access to these within the next 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, 3D printing is going to be just no big deal at that point.
Well, most everyone has a printer, a regular printer, because anytime they want to, you know, make something physical, a document, or whatever, you just print it out. And it'll be the same concept, just a little bit further expanded. Anytime you want to make a physical representation of whatever, just hit your print button and give it a little while and it'll spit out a physical copy.
It's hard to comprehend, like, 10 and 15 years of difference, because for us, you know, we're just so used to having technology that it's like, you know, no big deal. You know, we have these i7 processors and solid-state hard drives coming out now, and, you know, that's old hat to us. But you go back 10 and 15 years, I mean, you would have heard the classic, you know, dial-up would have been going through for you to even connect to the internet. You know, and here we are just, you know, running a podcast because we feel like it, you know, in our own home office here, so... To imagine where 3D printing will be in 10 to 15 years after, you know, watching technology explode like it has. I mean, it's going to be like another moon landing, you know, for what they're going to be coming up with.
Mm-hmm.
And something I thought was interesting that he mentioned on there was how, even though they try to limit a lot of this stuff, if you want it, well, regardless of whether you want it, like, it's coming.
Right.
You know, there's not going to be any stopping this technology. Yeah. It's something people want. It's something, honestly, a lot of people need.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, like he was talking about on there, the ability to print, like, you know, replacement parts for, like, dinner plates or glasses or anything, you know, that once that material becomes available to print with, nobody's going to run out and buy that stuff anymore.
Right.
It's going to change a lot of manufacturing and textiles in general because the ability to be able to just buy, like, whoever owns the solid materials that those things are made out of, whether it's silicate or, like, say, PVC or carbon fiber, any actual compounds that people are going to be needing at that point, those are going to be the people who are on top.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because then it's not going to be, I need a product, you need the materials to create the product. But it's kind of funny watching how things, like, are just progressively going more and more towards that total independence, and it really comes down to whatever you can create in your mind.
Yeah, and that's what's cool to me as a creative person with all the new technologies available. I mean, I don't even take advantage of things now. I've started downloading, you know, like game engines and stuff to try out, and I want to dabble in some 3D modeling and stuff because it's limitless. I mean, your creativity is not limited by technology anymore. Before, it used to be if you wanted to make anything, you had to get a pencil and a piece of paper and draw it out, and then you'd have to go find materials and put it together or give it to someone who had manufacturing. Now, you could create, like the way they do the parts for these things, like for the gun they were making, they have the CAD, computer-assisted drawing programs, in the computer, and they just go in there, they make the part, and they do virtual testing in the computer before ever printing the part, so they can get pretty close to where they want to be with the part and the stress and all that stuff. And then they start doing the physical tests to make sure it stands up. You know, there's differences, obviously, because it's not real world, but you can do so much virtually now
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, you just, the sky's the limit.
Well, I was thinking too, even just when you were doing a bit of modeling when you first came over here, even on Google SketchUp.
Right.
Like, if you could take that program and start plugging in whatever the crap you, like, make on that program and, like, okay, print.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, whatever model you design, the computer can now handle, like, oh, okay, like, let's three-dimensionally make an object.
Oh, that just made me think. Toys.
Yeah.
Toys would be amazing. Like, you have, like, Lego pieces, and you're thinking, okay, I wish I had this one piece, and I'm missing it, or whatever. You can just print that one little piece you need.
Yeah, well, and essentially, on that same note, like, everyone can be an inventor at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I have this product. Like, how can I make this just a little bit better? Oh, let's go print out that part as a mm-hmm. prototype.
Yeah.
You know, it may not be high-end manufacturing quality, but now you have, you know, we talk about Kickstarter all the time. What if you had an actual product that you made that, like, oh, like, this is how this would work. Mm-hmm. Now I have the actual physical item.
Yeah.
And versus just, like, a sketch, you know, because, like, well, we have to go through so-and-so and this middle manager to get this product made. Like, no, I made this at home.
Especially for prototyping, you need that. And if you're not, if you don't have, like, a manufacturing plant in your backyard, you can't go, like, make an invention or a part or, you know, whatever. Even if it's something just without moving parts, you can't just make it out of nothing.
Right.
I mean, whittle down some plastic.
I'm going to have to follow something on that, either on Reddit or something. 3D printing is really taking off, so I'm excited about that.
Power to the people.
How about the new NVIDIA card that has debunked the moon landing conspiracy?
I still need to download that thing.
Ta-da! What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I just saw a blurb about it whenever it first came out. Basically, what they did was, with the newest card, one of the ways they wanted to show the prowess of it was recreating the moon landing, you know, in CG. And they... I'm still trying to wrap my mind around how that disproves a conspiracy theory about it. Not because I believe a conspiracy theory about it, but because it just doesn't seem to... I mean, it just doesn't seem to be relevant, I guess. But basically, because it's a virtual program where they recreated the moon landing, and they show how, based on certain physics and factors, you know, that they built into that program, the way that things looked and appeared in the original moon landing videos would have been true to life.
Right.
So basically, it's a simulator, moon landing simulator to 2014. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
And which, I mean, is great and all. It's probably really cool to show off what the card can do and, you know, the computer generating power and all of that. However, if anything, I mean, to me, if anything, that almost says, well, this could be recreated, therefore, was it really real in the first place? I mean, you know, I don't know if I can say that I believe the moon landing was a fake, because I have not seen enough evidence to prove that to me, but I just don't see how this debunks a conspiracy theory about it.
Yeah. Well, that's what they said here in this article, and the article actually is provided by Techno Buffalo, which is an amazing name. But essentially, the theory goes that the lunar lander was positioned with the exit hatch in the video directly opposite of the sun. Despite that, astronaut Buzz Aldrin was fairly well lit rather than being shrouded in absolute darkness. He must have, proponents suggest, been lit by a secondary light source such as a studio light. Other aspects, such as the lack of stars in the background of shots, also play into this idea. Now, NVIDIA, which actually I didn't know if I told you this or not, they use the Unreal 4 engine.
Okay.
Coupled with their new GPUs.
Which is fairly new.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why it, you know, it's kind of cutting edge. But what they did is they kind of enhanced all of the light sources and stuff, and they got with some high-end, well, basically I'm just paraphrasing the article here, but they got with some high-end engineers as far as like lighting and stuff, and they determined that because of the nature, like all the spacesuits that they were wearing were actually Teflon coated at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever look at Teflon just as is, you know, like a brand new pan, it actually will reflect light as, you know, like in the bottom of a pan as some light source. So that was one part of it that they decided to go ahead and give that to. The other side was that, according to the video, after they enhanced it with their lighting effects, that all the stars were basically just drowned out because the recording equipment at the time wasn't able to distinguish between the power of, like, the sun hitting the raw surface of the moon and still pick up, like, the light signals from the stars.
Like the aperture or something like that, yeah.
Like the grain on the film and everything just wasn't able to detect all that because there's so much light already hitting it. So, and again, they'd say in the article towards the end that, you know, it's not going to sway, you know, your hardcore conspiracy theorists, myself, but is an interesting read. I thought that was kind of cool just because it shows, you know, like you say, all the way technology is going.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the video was shot, you know, supposedly in 1969.
Right.
But, you know, just the fact that you can even transfer film to digital. You know, I mean, that's kind of a magic miracle of modern technology anyway, but to be able to enhance it and to tweak it and move all those things. I mean, nobody was thinking of all that in 69.
Oh, yeah. No. You know, they just archived it.
I mean, it was amazing that you got to watch it on TV.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big deal even then.
My dad said it was a huge deal.
Yeah. Oh, did he get to see it?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. That's interesting. I know my dad did, but I didn't know your dad had actually watched it. Yeah, I can only imagine, like, that's what we need more of in our lifetime. Like, we don't have enough major
milestones.
Yeah.
Well, all anyone points to is bad stuff, like 9/11. Yeah. I lived through 9/11.
Or Ebola.
Or Ebola.
The big scare. Dude,
we're all going to die from
internal
bleeding.
Dude, that's how it's going to happen.
It's terrible. Like, you read up on the stuff on that. The the guy that they brought... in case you didn't know, there was a guy in... This just happened, what, 2 or 3 days ago?
Yeah.
There was a guy in Dallas that was the first locally known case of Ebola or whatever. He'd actually come in contact 14 days prior, quote-unquote, come in contact with a female who had Ebola.
Come in contact with. Leave it at
that's
that.
That's exactly what it said. Came into contact with. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Anyways, he's now in dire condition, apparently. He's not doing so hot. So
oh, really?
He is probably regretting his contact with the female
who he
contracted Ebola from. But it's one of those things that we were talking about. You know, it's just, I mean, it's actually pretty similar to like the AIDS or HIV, where if you're just careful and you're not just going around contracting and coming into contact with whatever you will... Well, she'll say, you're not going to get it. It's not a big deal. I mean, unless you're drinking other people's spit or you know, touching all kinds of things that other people are drooling on or something, because it's contracted through fluids. It's like common hygiene, like just washing your hands and not touching your face when you've touched things that other people have been touching and breathing on and crap. It's just like getting anything else. But...
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone at work has been talking about it, and I don't worry about that stuff because most of the time, like, I mean, I'm not going to even state most of my opinion, but there's reasons it spreads in other places,
and
I'll just leave it at that. But, like, these guys are worried about, like, oh, you know, everyone's going to die, and it's going to be the zombie apocalypse, you know, and I'm like... It's nowhere near that bad. For one, just the fact that we have like stronger, healthier foods grown here in the United States.
That's true. Nutrition.
Like, makes the people a big difference. Who are catching this in Africa, like, I'm sorry to say, but the reality of the situation is they're probably contracting half of this disease from the water they drink. Like, they don't have clean water. They don't. I mean, the animals are drinking the same stuff. So, I mean, the animals are probably catching it, and then they're going to go eat those animals.
Yeah.
You know, well, the same animals that are living with them in their hut.
That's a big part of how they're getting it is through the meat and the eating,
Like, this is not just a, you know, like, oh, some big virulent contagion. Like, everything about their life and culture is what's spreading this. You bring that to the U.S., yeah, there's probably going to be a few stupid people, especially ones who travel overseas and have contact with, you know, people outside the country.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to catch it. You know, because they're not being safe and they're not practicing, you know, anything that we practice here in the U.S. We have stringent codes for hygiene for those reasons.
Yeah. Oh,
even going to Walmart, they have Lysol wipes for the, like, the carts now.
Yeah.
Which it still amazes me. It took us that long to finally figure out, like, we should probably be wiping our hands every time that we, you know, how many thousands of people touch those things.
On the customer side, yeah, there's not a lot. Like, when you go there, but like, I started working, you know, doing the demoing the products over at Sam's now, and it was actually amazing to me how often and how much we have to sanitize and clean and change out our gloves.
Yeah.
Like every 10 seconds you've done something and oh, you've contaminated. So now you have to like strip down, wash your hands, like switch everything.
It's super.
It's like a hospital. I mean, you really have to be super careful. And because of all the codes and everything you have to follow, which makes a huge difference, because just that one time that you put up a barrier of, oh, I washed my hands because I touched whatever spilled liquid, you just prevented like 800 people from getting Ebola,
exactly,
or whatever the crap.
Especially in food sources.
Yeah.
Like that, right there, just like we just said, that is how you spread to mass populations. You put it in the food or you put it in the water, period. Yeah. There's no better way to spread something than put it in the water supply or put it in food like animals.
You sound like you've been planning this for a while.
Oh, it's been coming. I'm actually behind the whole thing. Dude, this is what I need to insert one of those audio clips for the government, like your, what is it, scare mail stuff?
Oh, yeah.
We should put that on there just for every
somehow,
time.
Like tags.
Ebola and every other keyword that comes up.
Well, that's
one. Bomb the president.
Well, that's one of those things that that a lot of people don't realize. Like we were talking about, the Ebola virus is a patent owned by the U.S. government.
It's a conspiracy. I'm so happy.
I mean, that right there raises all kinds of questions. Why does the U.S. government own a patent to a virus that is now spreading like wildfire in another country? To what end? How did they get it?
Well, it's been confirmed by Canada's prime minister that we sent them supplies of this stuff to mix with vaccinations that were being tested in Africa.
Wow.
That has been confirmed.
By whom?
Canadian Prime Minister.
Oh, wow.
He actually, like, said, yes, this is what was happening. Now, of course, you know, that's not major media news.
I was going to say, I didn't see
that.
But if
you dig that up, he actually did confirm it in one of their press conferences that, yes, we were getting shipments from the U.S., and it did contain this virus.
Wow.
And we were sending it to be tested in the field in Africa.
Wow.
Like Sierra Leone, all of that area. And what's crazy is that there were different strains. Which, you know, obviously we've all seen now. The European strain was the one other one. But the one that they sent to Zaire is like 97% kill rate. Which means it's already obviously weaponized. They were just trying to see which one was going to be the most effective. And again, you know, I mean, that's, it's crazy to think about. But like, that's actually going on in our world.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about. However, I found something else out that was interesting to me. This is actually not the biggest outbreak that's ever happened with Ebola.
Really?
In 1976, it was almost double this.
Wow.
But they didn't have, like, any kind of... Like, they didn't know at all when they first started testing in 76 that it was going to have any kind of the effect it did.
Wow.
Because, obviously, I mean, they, you know, created lab virus, not understanding how powerful a virus is. And when it was released, I mean, it was just, like, people thought it was the end of days.
Yeah.
It's like, this is going to wipe off, you know, the whole planet. It was like the new atom bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So when they got that under control, it went silent for a long time until recently we just started digging it up and vaccinating people. Which is why, ladies and gentlemen, you should never vaccinate your children or anything, like your dogs or anything.
We are now firmly in conspiracy corner.
Dude, conspiracy corner!
Because it always comes back to that.
Dude. Speaking of conspiracy corner, have you heard of this new movie called Terminus coming out of Australia?
Terminus, what's it about?
It's apparently, like, nobody knows what it is, but the trailer looks awesome. It's a sci-fi movie, of course. But everyone's confused because they don't know what's happening. Because, like, basically, the trailer shows that something comes out of the sky, crash lands to Earth. Some dude, like, gets really injured, and then he grows back, like, this weird leg.
What?
And there's just all kinds of craziness. I actually have the trailer if you want to watch it.
Sure, they're not going to be able to see it, but
it's all right.
You post the link. Wait, is this the same people who did District 9?
I did not read that.
Oh, no, that was in, was that South Africa? Yeah.
Yeah, it says, I know something crashes to Earth, someone's leg grows back in a super creepy way, and I'm completely intrigued. Here's the official vague synopsis from the YouTube page. Following a near-fatal accident, David Chamberlain makes an unprecedented discovery that will not only determine the fate of his family, but of mankind.
All mankind.
Dude. Twitch says that although the film is being made by Australians in Australia, it will be set in a small American town.
That's awesome.
And that it's due out next year. Oh, and that it definitely looks like a movie to keep our eyes on. So anyway, yeah, we'll probably post that just as a link then, and we'll show you the trailer. But it does look pretty good, actually. I watched it, and it's one of those ones where it's like, you know, it's not super, super like high-end studio quality, but it still is well enough done that it'll be a good movie. So,
well, I'm always pleasantly surprised by films from Australia. Because you never, I mean, it's Australia, it's not like Hollywood, you don't expect, like, these amazing blockbusters. But then you'll see a random film, and it's, like, made in Australia, and you're like, wow, this was a really good movie.
Made in Australia.
Well, that one we just watched the other day, the, what was that, the War...
Oh, yeah, that was crazy with the kids.
What was it called, The War Starts Tomorrow?
Yeah, something like that.
When the War Begins Tomorrow.
If you guys are in Australia listening to this, you can email us and correct us.
It was based on a book.
rtrpod@gmail.com, rtrpod@gmail.com.
It was based on a book, apparently. But it was actually a very good film. Like, it was kind of like Red Dawn, the Australian version.
Yeah, it really was. That's exactly what I got that vibe from.
But it was more realistic than I would have thought, just from even the first 15 minutes of it. And I thought, oh, it was just another, you know, kind of cheap flick. And then halfway through, everything starts going to pot, and you realize, like, this is hardcore. Like, people are dying and stuff. It was pretty interesting.
But what was really creepy and amazing, because it's exactly how it would go, they all went on a camping trip. And, like, one night, it was, like, towards the end of their trip, they're getting ready to go home. Like, they're all sleeping under the stars. And then, like, they're all woken up because there's, like, bomber planes and, like, high-end aircraft flying overhead. And they have no idea what's going on.
Right.
Like, their country's being invaded, and they're just out in the wilderness, like, oh, something must be going down. That was crazy.
Because in Australia, everything can kill you, including outside forces.
Dude, everything can kill you in Australia. I love it. Oh, man. So, apparently, Russia is developing some future tech fuel. At their underground plants. I don't know if you read about this. This is
underground plants. This just sounds bad.
Yeah. It's called MOX. They're calling it MOX.
MOXY.
Which is a mixture of plutonium and uranium dioxides. Essentially what it does is, as you're using it, most nuclear fuel that people use right now, It breaks down, it decays, obviously. You know, everyone knows that's why nuclear waste is bad.
Yeah.
But as it decays, when it decays away, it still is nuclear waste once it's done. Like, what's no usable energy anymore, it's still really potent, powerful, like, blah. Like, it's nuclear waste.
Right.
The problem is getting rid of it after that.
Right, yeah.
I mean, basically, all they've been doing is burying it in storehouses underground, you know, hoping that it'll just stay tight for 10,000 years.
Or stick it in a water tank or something.
Yeah. Well, what they're doing now with this is they're actually turning them into pellets that, once they're burnt through, they're essentially completely consumed.
Wow.
And by doing that, they're eliminating any kind of waste that it's producing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, essentially, all it is doing is producing energy as its sole, like, exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it gets hot. I mean, it's a nuclear reaction, you know, like we know of.
Wow.
But it's contained and it's pure energy. It just goes straight into energy, and once it's used up, it goes off. Like, it's done.
Clean, huh?
But once they've got it perfected, they'll be producing, like, what does it say here? Tablets of fuel of the future have been put on serial production. Is that blah, blah, blah. 880 megawatts. Will be produced off of each one of these.
Dude, I don't know.
From the power plants.
That doesn't sound like gigawatts yet. I don't think we're there.
Yeah. Gigawatt!
Well, that's what I was thinking of, because that, when he comes back to the future, and he's got the, he's got that little mini nuclear reactor thing on a car, and he just dumps a bunch of crud in there. That's almost the same thing. You just, like, throw a pellet in there, and that's your fuel. Like, you're not pouring gasoline and stuff in there.
You're for those who don't know anything about nuclear, what that means is that basically it would take our output that we have for nuclear plants right now and multiply it by 50.
Wow.
The amount of power that it would be producing. And it's clean.
Right. And that's another thing most people don't know about nuclear energy. Because those giant stacks you see belching out stuff into the sky, That's steam.
Steam. It's straight water.
It's not like some kind of pollutant. Like when you go to any other plant ever and you see all that black smoke, that's some kind of crud output that they're putting out, or they dump it in the river or whatever. But with nuclear power, you just have the heat dissipation, the steam and all that you're dealing with. But the nuclear power is fairly clean energy. And people get scared of it because the whole idea of nuclear equals bomb. But that's just one application, and that's like anything.
That was the gasoline. Media frenzy of Chernobyl. Mm-hmm.
Radiation.
Yeah. See, guys, this is bad. Like, we should never invest in this. And because of that, we are by far the furthest behind in nuclear power.
Mm-hmm.
Russia, as of right now, they're planning on putting this into production in 2016.
Wow.
As in running their country off of this by 2016. And they are the only ones in the world with facilities built to do this.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Everyone, apparently there's differences in the facilities that are built around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Their facilities are able to build, to run the classic uranium-235,
mm-hmm.
as well as the real high-end enriched uranium-238.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
apparently no one else has ever done that. And they didn't know why they did that years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But now that they've discovered a source to be able to burn, they're the only ones capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So now everyone who wants this is going to have to go to Russia to get schematics on how to build facilities to run this stuff.
Now, what about the actual...
Which means, as far as power is concerned, Russia could quickly become a powerhouse in the world again.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, the question I had was, what about the actual materials? Like, where are they getting all this uranium from?
It's actually the waste left over from past years.
What?
Yeah. All the recycled mess, they're digging it back up and enriching it to become the new fuel source. They're basically collecting and harvesting it all the waste, and they're reinvigorating it, I guess.
Recycling it, yeah.
Yeah, and they're going to be totally consuming it.
Which means that whole process or related processes could lead to a whole revamping of that. Of that whole problem of having nuclear waste.
Yeah.
You could dig, like you said, dig all that up and say, we're going to reuse it.
Yeah, if you add the human factor in there,
yeah,
like someone somewhere in the near future is going to have a major crisis again with nuclear waste.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's going to be the Cold War all over again.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be another Chernobyl on the horizon. Like I'm calling it right now in this podcast. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because you start digging out tons and tons of nuclear waste, someone's going to be driving a forklift too fast or something, and it's going to spill all over, and people are just going to be contaminated for years after because that site will be just like ground zero for some kind of weirdness.
Well, it's funny, too. We were talking about the psychology of, you just mentioned the word nuclear. Everything immediately goes to danger. It's a bomb. You got radiation. You know, the first thing you think of for most people is not nuclear energy or good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fuel source, which means it's the exact same thing, not physically, obviously, but it's the exact same conceptually as what we do use for fuel now, gasoline or oil. It's extremely flammable. It's highly dangerous. If you just have like a pot of gasoline sitting there, you're just waiting for an accident to happen, somebody to smoke a cigarette or light a match somehow or make a spark and boom, now you're on fire. Any fuel source that we have is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Even electricity. You know, you look at electric cars, electric... you know, electric power plants and stuff like that. I mean, electricity is extremely dangerous. Any fuel you're dealing with has its dangers and its properties where you're going to have safeguards in place. So I don't think the whole scare about nuclear energy is warranted. It's more of a psychological reverse... what do they call it? Reverse psychological indirect propaganda. It's some kind of media machine thing where they didn't want... nuclear energy to be as big as it could be.
Yeah.
But if you're saying, like, if Russia suddenly becomes, like, another, you know, makes a stand again and is like, okay, well, now we're somebody because we're making all this power and we have power because of it, then the other countries are going to have to be like, okay, we have to do something about this.
Well, and like I'm saying, they're the only ones in the world who, I guess it's, they call them a fast neutron accelerator.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea why that matters or what it has to. I can figure it out, you know, because obviously, you know, uranium-238 is enriched,
mm-hmm.
and it's got those extra electrons and neutrons added to it to make it that much more atomically heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But in with them being the only ones who have that technology and that capability, you know, that could be very soon the collapse of the American dollar. Like, we could be dealing in rubles here before long because, I mean, think about it. Like, you know, if you have a limitless supply source at that point, I mean, there's no end to being able to mine. And the thing is, too, it doesn't have to just run uranium. That's what they were talking about later on in the articles. They could actually potentially mine, because uranium is really, really rare.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering where, like, they're getting it from.
When they dug that stuff up, they basically dug up all of it.
Yeah.
And there's hardly any left. But now they could use, you know, elements that are in massive abundance that nobody's ever been able to figure out what to do with them. They're like, okay, well, we have all this super heavy metals, but they don't, they're not conductive. They don't work for anything. Like, we could probably make it a nuclear thing, but we don't know how or why. These reactors are going to be it.
Interesting. Creating a whole new fuel economy there.
It's going to be real interesting to see, because if they could stabilize that, I mean, you know, thinking way out in the future, you know, the next moon landing, if you had, you know, these kind of nuclear-powered cars, well, you just buy new fuel cells for them. I mean, that would change, you know, the entire infrastructure of the world, you know, instead of being based on fossil fuels.
Well, yeah, fossil fuels, I mean, that's what drives, literally drives everything. I mean, like you said, going to another planet, like, it's fossil fuels, you know, burning all kinds of jet, rocket stuff that got us there. If you have some kind of nuclear-powered ship that's flying through space, like, that sounds really futuristic.
Basically, near infinite energy.
But yeah, I mean, you can just keep on, and then you could, at that point, if you got some kind of nuclear reactor going on, you could gather up space garbage.
Dude, space waste. Space stuff.
You could, yeah. And make power out of it. Because there's all kinds of epic, random stuff flying through space that could be extremely, stuff we haven't discovered yet, you know, elements that are out there that could be even more potent. And you could then, like, dump that in your engine and keep on flying.
Use the Tesseract.
Just keep on flowing through
space. You could. Anyway. Let's go a lighter route here, since we've been talking about heavy world news for the last 40 minutes. Dude, heavy metal. Eric Calderon. Nine bizarre jobs you never knew existed. Some of these are actually a little awkward, so I'll probably skip over a few of them.
What?
But, well, they're actually really inappropriate, but it's a real job, so they are out there. I'll post the link for you guys to read the article if you want.
If you do.
The first being a professional mattress jumper.
Really?
Yeah. To ensure that each and every mattress is compressed to perfection, a person is paid to jump up and down on mattresses day in and day out.
What?
Sound like fun? Maybe not so much after the 10,000th jump. Yet I bet they all have thighs like rugby players.
Wait, that means if I buy a mattress, some dude or some gal has been jumping on it.
Maybe not that one in particular, but yeah, if the, as they're coming off the assembly line, I'm sure at some point, like...
Couldn't you just make a machine for that, like, with big
pistons
that are just, like, but dumping on it or something?
I guess it's that idea of, like, you know, there's no way to tell unless a real person's doing it. Because they do, they actually, if you've ever been to a mattress factory, I don't know if you have or why you would have been, but...
No.
I've been to them where they do have, they have those big machines, and they're like... hundreds of times, like, every minute, it's just like, and, like, smashing each spring to see how long they'll stand up for. And it's kind of, it's crazy, because you're like, holy crap, like, who's going to put that kind of abuse on a mattress? But you don't think about it, like, because, like, if you're going to use it for 10 years, every time you get in and out of the bed,
it's
one of those, you know, you're hitting the springs.
100 pounds plus of pressure going on there.
Yeah. Some of us heavier than others. Job number two, professional pencil sharpener.
Wow.
Surprisingly, you'll now find various artisanal pencil sharpening services around the world.
What?
Here's how it works. You send your pencils, presumably those in need of sharpening, to these sharpeners to be sharpened.
You are kidding me. That's such a waste.
It's so awesome. I want to work there. You're like, what do I do? Number three, of course, chocolate taster. Chocolatiers the world over have teams of professional tasters who taste all their new products. Tasters then rate the products and suggest certain changes. Sounds delicious. When I think of that, what is it? Oh, what's the Lindor.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see the picture of the dude on there, I'm always like, I wonder if that guy's really, like, over there, like, mixing chocolate magic. Because I know they are somewhere, but the picture's always, like, some picturesque thing where he's, like, in his own little personal chef station, like, chocolate. job number four, professional snuggler.
Oh, I think I've heard of those.
Apparently in the U.S., people will pay up to $60 per private snuggle session.
Yeah.
This is not a sexual thing, but rather a therapeutic session for people seeking platonic intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there was a Reddit name about one of those people.
Was there really?
Yeah, she was a...
I've never heard of that before.
I guess she had gone between being like an escort and that or something, that, if I remember right. Maybe remembering wrong. But it was very interesting because it was like just random lonely people would come pay her just to like hug them for an hour. Which is kind of sad that you have no one in your life to hug you.
Well, it's interesting because they've shown, and unfortunately it was with children, which was the essence of evil. But if a human is not touched within a certain amount of like time, they will die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the human will die. Once you reach a certain age, I'm sure like you can like come to grips with the fact that like, you know, you're alone. But especially like children,
mm-hmm.
especially babies, like if they're not physically handled, they will die.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of any physical touch from another human being will kill them. Which is sad that we know that now, because somewhere some baby died because they neglected it till it died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but that's how the study went, so. Hmm. President poison food taster, we already know that. fake review writer.
Wow.
Some companies pay a lot of money to people willing to write fake positive reviews on products online, creating a false buzz around products, experiences, etc.
Terrible.
We all know them as trolls.
Seriously.
The wrinkle chaser. When slipping your feet into a brand new pair of shoes, just take a second to enjoy the smooth, wrinkle-free design. Why so? Because someone's actually paid to sit in the factory with a tiny steam iron to make sure your footwear is crease-free.
That's actually really nice. Thank you to that person.
No doubt. I wouldn't want to get a new pair of shoes and be like, what's wrong with the sole of my shoes? Well, whatever. We're already talking about all of them. So, obviously, if anyone's ever thought about it for any amount of time, there is a sex toy tester out there. We will leave that as is.
Tester, wow.
And finally, the professional sleeper. Love to hit that snooze button.
What?
Maybe this one is for you. Sleeping for a living can be rather fun as you get into your PJs on a daily basis, usually as part of sleep research projects.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was amazing.
Which are actually fairly hard to find.
Yeah.
Because I've looked for them.
Have you really? That's so awesome.
Some of those things that you always see on these lists. Where yeah. It's like, oh, you could go, you know, get tested for your sleeping and blah, 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 you know. And you try looking around to see, and nobody's hiring for that. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It has to be in like some, it's probably some college student who's working in a program that's actually doing that already.
So I wanted to save this for last, which we have. Because it sounds amazing, and I wanted to watch it live so we can get our real reactions.
What is it?
It is a crazy sheep that runs and attacks many people.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to play this video.
If it's as good as the goat screaming video.
I hope it is, because it sounds awesome. Let's see if I can get my new phone to play YouTube here.
Do you have to open it in YouTube?
I do not know. I'm going to try and hold it and see if it'll play.
There
we go. Hold on, we're having technical errors. We're going to make it happen. Oh, here it comes. I hope this is awesome. Oh no, it's an ad. Why is there always ads?
Dude, that's why you need to get an unofficial YouTube ad.
I know, jeez. I do need to get an unofficial one.
I hate ads. I don't never have to watch ads.
Okay, they're on a motorbike. Sheep is chasing. Random.
What are you doing on the street?
What are they doing? He's like trying to bite her and she's walking away.
She's just ignoring.
What if this is the other thing? Awesome. Oh!
Oh, man, got her.
What in the world? This is like multiple angles. Dude, you missed!
High flying kick!
He's trying to kick it away.
Yeah, look at this.
Whose animal is that that they're just letting it roam in a tattoo?
It's probably, like, just some random, like, raw sheep. Dude, he's, like, loading up to kill him. What the crap?
Well, he's got a bell, which means somebody's...
He's like... So there's a brosif who's trying to defend the lady, and this sheep is, like, going full hardcore at him.
Oh, dude, he's still chasing him. He needs to headbutt it or something.
Something, yeah.
Show it his boss. Everybody's running past. They don't want to get killed by the sheep.
Dude, look at him. He's like chasing it. Chasing him down the road.
You know the best part about this video is that it's stabilized.
Yes.
You can actually see what's going on. Dude, is that animal control? Or no, maybe it's just a cop.
This guy's chasing.
No cameras.
They got the video from this cell phone.
He's like straight on, right, like 2 feet away from it. It's going for him.
Holy crap! This is intense.
Why don't they just like throw a rope on that thing?
I love when they do.
Drop it.
I love these cell videos. Everything looks world ending on the cell phone.
Yeah, it's all shaking around.
He's laughing.
Where is this? Dude, slow mo.
Best.
Slow mo version.
The best. That is the best. I can only imagine what it sounds like on just audio.
Yeah, no idea what's going on. Just like the little bell ringing.
Essentially, the guy is trying to film on his phone, and it is all over the place because he's being attacked by this goat. That's the best.
Slow mo land.
Oh, that was great.
There was never any resolution. What happened to the sheep?
It was just some sheep running wild.
Everyone got beat up by it.
I wonder where that was at. I don't even know.
That's amazing.
That was really good, actually.
You'll have to post that one up so they can watch it.
Yeah, you guys are going to have to watch that one. I thought about watching another one, but we'll spare you having to sit through listening to the audio. Never-ending story with grown-ups' faces superimposed on the kids.
What?
There's a picture. Oh, man. All right, I think we have failed on long enough over here.
Yeah, it's been an hour.
Yeah, I think it has actually 52 minutes and 17 seconds, if you're following along right now. But anyway, we are back. This is our first official after hiatus episode.
We didn't even introduce ourselves at the beginning. I realized that earlier. I'm Sam.
I'm Levi. So, in case you guys forgot.
Yeah.
That's all right, though. I've still got the old episodes up, so... We'll be trying to post a new show once a week, like usual.
Are we still hosted and all that, or do we have to...
We're still good to go. You guys can find us on iTunes. You can also find us in several different places. I won't bore you to death with everything, but if you search RTR Pod, you'll pretty much pull up everything on us because it's kind of a unique name for podcasts. So if you want to follow us on Facebook, Random Talk Radio Podcast, Twitter, once again, our handle is RTR Pod. Hashtag RTR Pod, so you guys can join the conversation. I check that every now and then to see who's talking about us. The blog, rtrpod.blogspot.com, and I think that about covers it. If you guys wanted to give us a call,
the call.
We're still waiting for someone to leave us a voicemail. That number is 970-263. No, it's not. Oh, man, I always forget which one it is.
What number are you giving them, man?
239-1639. That's what it is. 239-1639.
970-239-1639.
Give us a call. That's what we need to do. And I think that's going to do it for this show. So anyway, thanks for tuning in, guys. We will be back at you here in a little while, about another week. I think we're going to be trying to post these probably on Tuesdays. I don't know yet. I had to figure out what days I have that I can actually work on in the best, but we'll be recording once a week and then uploading them for you guys to follow. So check it out, subscribe to us on iTunes, and we'll be talking to you guys later.